Oh, correct me if you have to. How many times have the highlight of our service has been, oh, did you feel that when we were singing? And we'll go home with no revelation of who we are in Him and what we're called to. We'll just say, oh, when we sang that song, my hair stood up. Holy Ghost was in the service. Now, He knows my heart. Some of you might be getting offended at what I'm saying. He knows I'm not. I want Him to come. I don't care if all your hair stands up. Let it all stand up, praise God. I don't care if you want to flop and wiggle and giggle on the floor. Go for it. But get up and destroy the works of the devil. Walk in confidence. Refuse condemnation and live the Word of God. Do you understand? Because He's upon us because He's anointed us. Sometimes it's almost like we've done well because it's like, oh, we must have heard that third song because He came or something. It's like we don't know He's here. You know, it's like we're really going at it so God might come, you know. He's here. He's in us. He's here. And by these things, we reveal that we're walking way low of what we're called by these mentalities. Come on. They've slipped in on us. I've been in. Oh, God. No, I can't go there. Shoot. I just got stopped. I can't go there. I'm okay. Shoot. I've got to pray right now. I really do. Father, in all sincerity, you know my heart. We're praying right now that we would be delivered from these deceptions. That, Father, we're not condemned right now. We're not beating each other up in this. But that, Lord, we would not live shallow. We would not live for superficial things. And we would not call something less than the mark. But that, Lord, you would make us wise unto these things. And that you would help us and encourage us and send us forth with revelation, Lord. Lord, let nothing satisfy us but what is your perfect and complete will in these matters. And I just thank you for that. Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. My heart was getting torn up there about some stuff, so I had to pray. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in what?
Love.
In love. So important. That you would be able to comprehend with all the saints. We're all included. What is the width? So it's God's desire that we all see this, that we all receive this. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height. And then he just a hyphen there and he says, to know the love of Christ. It passes all knowledge. See, it passes knowledge. That's how it's said. It passes knowledge that you may be filled with all the fullness. I'm not against good preaching. I'm not against Bible knowledge. But I'll tell you what. I want the fullness of God. I could preach you sermon after sermon and not have the fullness of God. Whew. You can be in a church that believes 100% it's God's will to heal and never see healing in the church. It's true. I heard a pastor say once, he said, there's churches around there almost fight to the death to defend the doctrine that they believe it's God's will to heal, but yet rarely see the manifestation of healing. It's one thing to have a Bible knowledge of something. It's one thing to know, gnosis, what the Bible says. It's another thing to have epinosis, the experiential revelation of God's love. Should pass his knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. All of a sudden you just know the Bible. And when you're in counseling with the pastor because you're in trouble and having trouble and the pastor's quoting the scripture, you're finishing it for him because you think that makes you spiritual. Did you ever have that happen? I've had it happen, but I don't remember faces or names, but because that's not important. But I know many times somebody comes to me broken, hurting, life falling apart, and you start to quote a scripture to get their heart on the scripture, and they interrupt you and finish it to let you know, hey, I know that. And I'm thinking, no, you don't. You don't know that because you haven't become that. Yeah. We think we know because we can quote it. And we go to bed with fear. We wake up and worry. But we know what the Bible says. No. You know it when you become it.
Come on, come on.
I don't care if it takes just... What is all that?
Spit
We're bringing the house down, baby. God ain't honoring a building, Pastor. He's honoring His church. I'm kidding you. It's been just falling, huh? Okay. Now look. Look, now I'm not kneeling at an altar because it's an altar. I'm in my bedroom right now, okay? God, I don't just want to know what your word says and quote it. I want to know you. Fill me with a manifestation of who you are and let the word come alive within my heart. I want to become what you call me to be. I don't want to quote it. I don't want to just know it. I want to be it, Lord God. Thank you for Holy Ghost power in my life. Thank you for revelation and understanding. I love you and I worship you. I fear not. I've been redeemed. You've called me by name. Yeah. You got to pray like that. You got to get alone with God. You see? Man, heaven forbid we have more Christians that talk about love and walk in hate. Preach what we shouldn't do and ought not do and go and do it. And then other Christians see that, and that becomes a cheap justification for not following after Him. But we'll look at and but because and yeah. It's all deception. It's Jesus. We're following Jesus. Everybody in this room could backslide and turn from the faith, including Pastor Don and Pastor Dan. Okay? And Bobby Carter still has to ask himself a question. What am I going to do with Jesus? You get it? Man, don't you forget that stuff. Okay? Okay, I know that's ludicrous because he ain't going nowhere. And neither am I. And neither are we. It was an example. You see? Let's say we all just, something weird happens and the whole church just says, man, we've been deceived. We've been preaching Jesus. It ain't Jesus. It's the trees. Okay? Now listen. A man still is going to have to decide in his heart what he believes. And it should not be connected any way, anyhow, to another man. But how many people are fleshing out or trying to flesh out other people's faith and all that stuff? Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Well, some say Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. That's exactly what he said. Jeremiah, Elijah, Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He wheels to his men and says, but who do you say that I am? You know what he's saying? He's saying, you will not rise above your revelation of me. Who do men say that I am? Well, some say you were a good man. Some say you were merely a prophet. Some say you were the Son of God. Some say sometimes you will, sometimes you won't. Some say you allow this, and sometimes you even hire the devil to do what you need him to do to teach your people. And some say, who do you say I am? You can't rise above your revelation of who He is. We got to get in the book and get alone and pray. Reveal yourself to me, Jesus, through your word. You follow me? Do you know a whole lot of people are saying a whole lot of things about Jesus? But who do you say that I am? Watch this. I believe it's His will to heal everybody. And I believe the church is heading strongly to the day where we're just going to see. I'm talking just in His presence. Nothing that's not God will stand. Just we're on the. I'm not just talking hype here. You can think that if you want. That's your privilege. Did you ever notice God doesn't come and robot and constrain your mind? He lets you think what you want to think. So right now you can think what you want to think. It's your privilege. But I know where my heart is here when I say this. I believe with all my heart that we're right on the fringe, right up on the brink of seeing the most extraordinary move of God. Yeah. Yes. I mean it. Bring it on. I'm talking to where they all come and they're just all healed. And it's just because He's Lord and we all know it. And we just cry and worship Him and praise Him. And we're like, Chah. You know what I mean? You know how we get where we pray and we're like so fired up when it happens, and we almost expect it when it doesn't, because that's been the scenario for a long time in the churches. Man, we should be like, almost like, huh? When it doesn't happen. We really should be. And God is realigning us. He really is. It's imperative because He loves people. God's doing it because He loves us. And it's important for us to be in this place. It's important for us to get back to the book of Acts, where they brought everybody from everywhere and they were all healed. Okay? Okay. To know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20. And I said all that to get to this. Now to Him who is able. See, I wasn't going to preach all that in Ephesians 3, but it just seemed good. Verse 20. Now to Him. Yeah. To Him who is what? Able. Watch how much He sees us as sons and daughters. To Him who is able. Now it's all about God. It seems like all of a sudden it's all about, He's the one that, who knows, He's the one that heals. He's the one that delivers. He's the one that saves. But watch this. To do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power that works in us. Now to Him who can go above what you ask, think, or imagine, through the power He's placed in us. That's right. He's able, watch, through us. He's able through us. And He can go higher than you can think. I got a bone protruding. So? Prayed for people with fusions, but I got a fusion. Okay, let's pray. But I already had the surgery. I understand that. But He's God.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never walk in a method with God. So I don't try to repeat things. You move with revelation. You fill your heart with the Word. You preach the gospel with purity and with all your heart. And you step into revelation. Like, God didn't slap mud on every blind fella He bumped into, right? So I'm not going to drag a wheelbarrow of mud around. I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost. But I prayed for a little girl once. And this one touches me so much because she was suffering and she's just a teenager. And I tell it a lot because it just blesses me. But some of you are visiting, you probably haven't heard it. Anybody that knows me probably heard it. But I was in a setting where we're preaching the gospel and we're praying for the sick. And it was kind of cool because I was praying for this little boy. And I said to the dad, "He doesn't have diabetes." He said, "No." And it was like, really? It was like, "Well, who does?" I said, "Well, who does? You're really close." And everybody's like, and they're pointing, it was the lady standing right here. She had diabetes. And I looked at her and she's crying already. She's already getting it. She's already thinking, "This is God. I'm about to be healed. This is fun." And she's like, "Ooh," you know how, it's just good. And I grabbed her wrist and said, "Never again." And I got real hyper and excited because I was having fun in the moment. It was just exciting. It's, "God, you're so good." And she shrieked and made funny noises and all that. And who knows, that that's all fine. And it's Jesus.
Right.
So I turned, I prayed for the boy. And then I get to the girl. And I say, "Honey, how can I pray for you?" She says, "Well, I had TMJ several years ago, and I was so young they couldn't do anything about that. It just got so bad, and my bone sealed shut, and there's no joint anymore, and it's all calcium deposits in there." And it's just how she's talking, her teeth. And she said, "And they're going to wait till I'm 19 years old or 20 and all done grown, and they're going to break it. And da 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 da." And I'm like, "Oh, that's like suffering. This is tough." Her teeth are just barely open. And her talking wasn't even as clear as mine because her teeth was If you close your teeth, you can talk clearer than if you just open them a quarter inch. You try it sometime. You can. And see, now you're all going to be trying that when you go home. When you get out in the car. Now, spouses, don't talk to each other that way. You'll think you're mad at each other. You'll, you shouldn't have took me to the church. The guy wasn't. They were feeding her with a rubber baby spoon, pureed food. She would slurp it off the spoon. Lived every day like that. No joint. It cemented. It calcium deposits. It sealed. It seamed. It was all solid bone. Does that make sense? Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Because of the pressure, this jaw over here, the joint, boom, popped out. So she had great pain on this side. She's standing there talking like this, and I'm like, wow, compassion. And I said, well, honey, we're going to pray. And all of a sudden it hit me. If God could breathe in a pile of dirt,
yes,
and it jump up a man,
that's right.
Come on, watch. Sometimes you just got to be simple. Duh, right?
Instead of, you know...
Go ahead and be simple. I dare you. Be simple and be used by God, okay? Because He said, in my spirit, if He can breathe in a pile of dirt and it jumped, come on, we great God-fearing Christians all say we believe God breathed into dirt and it jumped up a man. We better believe it. The Bible teaches it. But think about it. A brain, the human anatomy, bones, lungs, blood, every cell of the human body, one breath from the Master.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. A man. You gotta think on this stuff and let it brainwash you. Take every ounce of unbelief out of you. Because He's exceedingly, abundantly above what we ask or think or imagine. I looked at that little girl, I said, I just got silly. I wasn't serious anymore. When I saw that, I just giggled like a hyena. I laughed. I said, honey, if God can breathe in a pile of dirt and it jump up a man, He can fix your jaw. And I took two fingers like this and touched her. And I said, Father, and that's all I got to say. All I got out was, Father. And I felt her jaw go right under my fingers. Just snap, cracked, like if you'd have just... And I got more silly and I laughed. I said, honey, God just broke your jaw. She said, and her eyes filled up with tears.
Yeah.
Happened right in Hershey, Phil Capuccio's church. Phil and Karen, good people. You know Phil and Karen. You guys know them? Phil's standing, you know Phil. Phil's standing there going... Praise God. Glory to God. He's just a great guy because he knows God's moving. And I said, does it hurt? She says, no. I says, why are you crying? Because I felt it. She felt a crack. And then it hit me again. The same principle. If God could breathe. Say, honey, He didn't break your jaw to leave it broke. He's putting the joint in there just to open your mouth. And she went.
Yeah.
Yeah,
God.
Yeah. Totally healed and restored by the power of the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Do you remember coming to church? The following week, she came to our congregation. The following Sunday, they had no Sunday morning service. The following week, she came to where we were because I was at another assembly. She came there with her mother, and I was leading the service that morning, and I spotted her back, and I went, hey! And she waved, and her mom's waving, and I went, and everybody's looking like, oh, well, he knows somebody, and I'm like that if I see you. You've seen me do that up here. I just see somebody. Look, it's real. We're not up here. I'm not performing, okay? Duh. You know, I'm just the real guy. And if I see somebody I haven't seen for a while, I might say hi. And I just was like, and I went, and everybody's like, what is that? You know, I'm like, and she goes, and I said, get up here. And she come up with her mama. And we just wept and worshiped Jesus. She told the testimony. 100% normal and healed. She went to school on Monday. John likes this part. He loves this part. She went to school on Monday and bought the alternative menu because she didn't like the main course. And guess what was on the alternative menu? One of those little 6-inch corn on the cobs. She took it. Her mom shared that at church and said, doesn't God have a sense of humor? He put the little corn on the cob on the school menu so my daughter could just... Watch how huge that is. Can I share what can be a problem? What can be a problem is we hear a testimony like that and our minds revert to things that haven't happened and what we haven't seen. But guess how I think? I saw a jaw healed and restored and a joint that wasn't there put in. I can't think about anything else now. I know it's possible. I already knew it was because the Word said so. And I could have preached it with passion. But I saw it and experienced it. And it kind of marks you and brands you and messes you up. You're no good for nobody anymore in a certain sense.